In this series of lessons, I have tried to give reasons that following Jesus without denominationalism is possible today, especially when we appreciate why denominationalism is wrong and therefore disdain sectarianism. Imitate the example of Jesus by maintaining a non-sectarian relationship with God. Properly respond to the call of the gospel, because that's how Christ is adding people to his church. And then allow the apostles' doctrine to be our standard of authority in religion, recognizing that that is how Christ is directing his church today, not through some synod or council or whatever. And then we need to develop those qualities of a Christ-like character that are enjoined in the apostolic epistles so that we can maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, what I have proposed is really nothing new, and it's been the plea that has been expressed by many others. I am personally convinced that throughout church history, there have always been groups of Christians trying to follow Jesus in this way. Even today, there are thousands of congregations composed of those who are following Jesus without denominations or denominationalism. Really, I believe there are a lot of churches true to the example and pattern of the Lord's church as we find it in the pages of the New Testament. But suppose someone wanted to find a New Testament church today. Where would they start? What would they look for? In this lesson, the final one in this series, I want to offer some thoughts on how to find a New Testament church today. It's not an exhaustive study. Of course, there's many simple questions or suggestions that might help to get us started. There are some sort of suggestions, and these are some sort of suggestions that I myself would follow if I were looking to find a congregation today that matches the New Testament church. The first thing I would do is start with the name. The name of the congregation tells a lot about what they believe. It can quickly tell whether the church is concerned with following Jesus without denominationalism. Because if the name is a denominational name, then religious division is going to be a major concern, especially of those in that congregation. First of all, the name needs to be a scriptural name. There is no one scriptural name for the Lord's New Testament church. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, there's the expression Church of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, there's the expression Churches of God. In Romans 16 and verse 16, there's Churches of Christ. And all of these are commonly used. But other terms are also used, and they reflect an association with God and Christ. And those terms are Body of Christ, Kingdom of God, Bride of Christ, Temple of God, and the list goes on. But the use of scriptural names instead of a humanly conceived name reflects in that congregation a desire to follow the scriptures and not human tradition. And it certainly conveys a desire to honor God and Christ and not some man, some creed, or some particular doctrine. Unfortunately, the name alone is not a sure guide. Just as the name Mrs. Copeland alone is not a sure guide if you're seeking to find Mr. Copeland's wife. But there are a lot of women who would go by the name Mrs. Copeland. But not only one who would bear the name of his wife, there are many congregations that bear the name of Christ or God that may not be truly honoring God or Christ. For example, there are over 200 separate denominations that use the expression Church of God. And likewise, there may be churches of Christ that are less denominational than any church with a denominational name. But I would still recommend beginning with the name, and in particular, those congregations that use the expression Church of Christ. Because so many denominations have chosen to use the expression Church of God, the likelihood of simply finding a denomination is so much greater. Whereas churches of Christ, I have known, are seeking to follow Jesus without denominationalism. And so the possibilities of finding a church true to the New Testament are greater with that name. But even when we find a church that is non-denominational, that doesn't automatically mean that the people are truly members of the Lord's body. And that's why I make the next suggestion. Examine the gospel that is being preached. Remember how Christ is building his church. It's through the gospel. Christ calls us through his gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And as we answer that gospel call, the Lord adds us to his body, the church. Acts 2, verse 41, and again in verse 47. And that's why it's so important that the gospel not be perverted in any way. Paul warns of that in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. But if the gospel message that's being preached is different by either changing the facts or commands of the gospel, then the people are not being saved, and the Lord is not adding them to his church. A church with a perverted message or gospel, well, it may have the nicest people in town, but they are still unregenerated people, unsaved. And they may wear the name of Christ, both as individuals and as a collective group in that church, but are not truly the people of God. So while a group of people may identify themselves as a church of God or church of Christ, it's only Christ who truly makes them such when they properly respond to the call of the gospel. And that's why it's so important for a church to teach the pure and simple gospel of Christ. Here's a final suggestion, but it's one that might require careful examination over a period of time. And that is to compare the practice, what they do as a work of that church, with the New Testament pattern. In the New Testament, we find a pattern. The New Testament describes the early church during its first 60 years of existence. A careful study of the book of Acts and the letters, the epistles, reveal a picture of that New Testament church. Now, from this picture, a pattern begins to emerge, a pattern in reference to the worship of the church. Look at a church today and see if their worship is in accordance with the New Testament church. The New Testament church never had instrumental music, never had women preachers. So if you're part of a congregation today that you walk in this morning, say, and the piano or organ player is going, then you may be in the wrong, now let me rephrase that, you are in the wrong place. The work of the church, the New Testament church that we read about in God's inspired word, never was a social or recreational work. The only work they did was preaching the gospel and spreading that gospel. So if you're part of a group that entertains people or has social activities like ball teams or whatnot, then you are not part of a New Testament church. The organization of the church is another pattern that emerges when we look at the New Testament. There was one preacher most of the time. There were multiple elders, and then that was followed by deacons and saints. Too many times we see the pastor, which is another word for elder, being the leader of the church. That's not biblical organization. This pattern emerges as we see the early Christians continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And a church today abiding in the apostles' doctrine is going to reflect this pattern. Their worship will be like that is described in the New Testament. It's going to involve such elements as singing, praying, studying the Bible, preaching, and the Lord's Supper. And there are plenty of passages throughout the pages of the New Testament that would attribute to this. Their assemblies are going to seek to provoke one another unto love and good works, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Their work as a congregation is going to be found similar to that of what you read about in the New Testament. Equipping the saints for ministry, edification, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Furthering the spread of the gospel by sending out evangelists, evangelism or preaching the gospel, Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16, 3 John 5 and 8. And then meeting the needs of the saints as problems arise, benevolence. We see that taught in Romans 15, 1 Corinthians 16, and 2 Corinthians 8. And their organization as a congregation is going to seek or try to be like that what is found in the pages of the New Testament, Philippians 1 and verse 1, with elders, and also known as bishops, presbyters, pastors, shepherds, qualified to oversee and tend to the local congregation, with deacons, also qualified to serve as they minister to the local congregation, and with saints or members who are traveling in this world with conduct that is honorable and one that gives glory to God. By carefully studying the pattern of the Lord's church as revealed in the New Testament, we can know when a congregation is faithfully observing the apostles' doctrine. And I am confident that there are many authentic congregations all over the world, and it's likely that one exists right here in our community. If you'd like to know one and be part of one, feel free to contact me, and I will help you find that congregation. But even if we live in an area where there's no church that continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, we can start one. We can start it in our own home, Romans 16 and verse 5, Philemon verses 1 and 2. And by proclaiming the simple gospel of Christ, the abiding in the apostles' doctrine as revealed in the pages of the New Testament. And this won't be some new denomination, but it will simply be a church of the Lord, a congregation of disciples that meet together to worship God, to edify one another in their service to the Lord. Now let me ask you a question, a very simple question. Are you in your worship, are you following Jesus without denominationalism, without man's teaching? Are you worshiping at a place that follows the name of a man? Do you wish to follow Jesus without denominationalism? Remember the prayer of Jesus in John 17, verses 20 through 23, where he prayed for unity, that they all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He goes on to say in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. I pray that everyone who wants to believe in Jesus will strive for unity and to follow Jesus without denominationalism. Thank you for being with me.